This is Solidarity Journal. Share in a common voice. Just might find your own.
To think that this was John Doe.
It's like the argument about the argument in part.
No, we fought an entire goddamn war. States' right to do what?
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial.
It's Tuesday, August 23rd, and you're listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's progressive radio station and one and only Pacifica affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. Today we'll have Larry Jones and Bill Poorman, organizer of the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition, and how he's aiming to find ways to promote communication and cooperation among Peoria area progressives. We'll also have Razia Ahmed talking with locals who are fasting for Ramadan this month, finding out what Ramadan means to them. And I'll be talking with local labor advocates Mike Everett, president of West Central Illinois Labor Council, Todd Holsinger, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and C.J. Higgins with United Way, and also the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, about how labor is deeply involved within the community and the upcoming Labor Day parade. And there will be featured performances throughout the show by Men of Fortune and the Dirty Gentlemen. So stay tuned to Solidarity Journal and prepare to be radicalized. Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's progressive radio station and one and only Pacifica affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. This past week I had the chance to sit down with Bill Poorman from Drinking Liberally and Larry Jones. He's starting a new group, or has started a new organization called the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition. And what it basically sounded like was, this was not just a single group, it was a way of getting other organizations and groups together, kind of promote communications, cooperation, and kind of a mutual support, solidarity with other groups in the Peoria area, progressive groups. Since we don't have a really large voice in the Peoria area, so I had a chance to learn more about this after sitting down with Bill.
This came out of the Drinking Liberally Club, social club for liberals and progressives that I run every couple of weeks over in Peoria. And out of that, a bunch of us said, okay, what's the next step? What are we going to do from a more active political standpoint? So we decided to meet outside of the pub where we meet and try to get some business done or some thoughts down on what we're going to do to start being more politically active. And word spread. It's great, but word spread. But we really didn't have anything planned. But we had 25 people show up who were interested in finding ways to better organize and activate the local progressive Peoria community, which was fantastic turnout, really. I realize to some folks that might sound like might not sound like much, but Peoria progressives, that's pretty good. So we went with that and held a first meeting, good positive response. So we decided to schedule our second meeting, and that one was held a little over 2 weeks ago. And what we did is we set our name, which is the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition. And so we set this the name, the GPPC. We set our mission and a vision statement. And speaking of the vision statement and the mission statement, the vision statement for the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition, this organization will act as a vehicle for all Peoria area progressives to find common cause and to unite together to generate the power necessary to bring about the change we want to see in the world. And for the mission statement, this organization will promote communication, cooperation, mutual support, and solidarity in the Peoria area progressive community in furtherance of progressive causes, issues, and campaigns of all kinds.
What is there any other groups involved with the coalition?
There are plans going forward for membership, and we see two kinds of membership. One is organizational membership, and one is individual membership. I would say right now that really all we have is individual membership, but the individuals that have been coming to the meetings represent a wide variety of existing Peoria area progressive groups. So we have that representation, but we don't have, say, formal votes by boards of directors of other organizations saying, yes, we are affiliated with you somehow. That's one of the many next steps toward getting this going.
Is this group affiliated with any political party or wants to be affiliated, or does it derive from any political party?
No.
Okay.
We are not part of a political party. Actually, one of the central ideas to what we're trying to do is to create a progressive power base to which political parties will have to be responsive. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, of course, one of the ways you get business done are votes, representatives, of course. That's where we're going to head, but we're going to be coming from a space of being progressives first and then working our way into politics.
You know, what would the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition do for, say, a group like the Peoria Peace Network?
Well, the hope is that we will be a vehicle for, first of all, making connections between already active progressive groups in the Peoria area, and there are several, but they're not necessarily always connected. They share some members, but they're not connected in terms of making common cause or looking for ways to back one another up or simply showing up at one another's events. So if we can create a sense of community amongst these progressive groups, we might get more cross-pollination between them. I think the other sense is, too, is that we want to create yet another way for non-activated progressives to get activated. And a component of what we're going to try to do is reach out to people who aren't activated right now and hopefully get them involved in some way and act as a funnel maybe even toward other progressive groups like the Peace Network or the environmental community and get them more members and activated members.
Well, let's go back a bit, Bill. Where did this idea come from? Why did you and I and a few other people start this to begin with?
Because we're frustrated. Because no one is out there representing progressive interests, really. Obviously, there are progressive politicians, there are progressive groups, but I think it would be difficult to argue that we're on the offensive. We are on the defensive right now. And many of us are frustrated. And the only way that anyone on the left ever has ever gotten power is by organizing, grassroots organizing. Again, just speaking personally, again, I'm 42. For basically my entire adult life, progressives have been on the defensive politically in this country, and we got to start now to turn that around.
Well, what has the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition accomplished so far? Where have we been?
Well, the coalition is only two meetings old at this point. And the first one was really just totally a preliminary get-together. And then the second one involved nailing down the name and the vision statement and the mission statement. So really now we're just starting to get formalized and effective, because we're going to start defining roles, we're going to start defining priorities and activities, and get moving. So it's early in the process of creating this coalition. Now, unfortunately, timing being what it is, we have big elections coming up just next year, and so we're going to have to move as quickly as we can. But I'll say also that we're in this for the long haul. This isn't something that's just going to blip through 2012 and then be done. We're trying to organize progressives in the Peoria area for the long haul. So we're taking a bit of a long view with this too.
Like, from an activist standpoint, what type of activism is there going to be with the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition?
It's about stitching together the progressive community in the Peoria area, generating those connections of already existing activists, people who are already out there doing that work, and then looking for ways to reinforce one another. Whether something, a protest or an action or some lobbying effort or all the various kinds of activism that there are will ever take place under the official banner of the coalition, we'll see. That's probably something that's going to bubble up from beneath, from the individual activists and the organizations and things like that. We'll look for places to make common cause. That common cause could fall in any one of the traditional issue areas over time, and that will emerge over time. But first, we've got to start talking to one another and figure those things out and start helping one another on the things that we're already doing. And hopefully sooner rather than later, but we're getting there.
Let me add to that. I think ultimately what we want to do is affect public policy, change legislation, make things better for working people. And that involves, well, looking at all these different issue areas. For example, the Peace Network and civil rights groups and poverty organizations, they all have, you know, something very important in common. All these issues are related. And what we need to do is allow people to find each other so that they can help each other. We can organize and then mobilize, if you will. And yes, you know, actions are important, I think they have to have a goal in mind. Are we just trying to raise consciousness and educate people, make people aware of the details of an issue or something wrong that's going on? That's important, but we also want to go one step beyond that, several steps beyond that.
What are some issues that you take a stance on?
A set of issues, or I would say more priorities. Okay, what are our priorities for this given month, year, election cycle, whatever it is? It's a little too early in the process. I will say this, kind of building on something Larry said, I mean, all of these issues have connections. On economic issues, you know, with the Peace Network, if we're spending on war, we're not spending on people here in America. We mentioned that we're not aligned with any specific party, although we realize that getting into electoral politics matters in the long run. But I think the central point is this, is we need power. As progressives, we need power. And power takes many different forms. You know, we think of the obvious forms, success at the ballot box, money. Of course, the conservatives will always beat us on the money front. But power comes primarily on the left from organizing people, from getting organized, being effective together. And this coalition will focus on getting the power necessary to make the changes that we want to see in the world as progressives.
So if you want to learn more about the Greater Peoria Progressive Coalition, they'll be meeting Wednesday, August 31st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Community Room in Schnucks Grocery. And that's on 4800 North University at the corner of University and Glen. When we return, we'll have a report from Razia Ahmed.
on this month's Ramadan fasting. So stay tuned to Solidarity Journal at WAZU 90.7 FM. Thanks for tuning in to WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's only progressive radio station and only Pacifica affiliate. Now I have Razia Ahmed interviewing local Muslims about why they fast during Ramadan.
Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Muslims all over the world celebrate Ramadan by fasting from sunrise to sunset. Fasting is the fifth pillar of Islam. Ramadan is considered holy because the Quran was revealed in this month. Muslims also believe that the doors of heaven are open and the doors of hell are closed all through this month. Muslims also give zakat or alms, which is the fourth pillar of Islam during this month. Adhan, or azan as we say in Pakistan, call to prayer, Allah is God, is alone. And the Prophet is his messenger. And then we follow the breaking of the fast with the prayer itself. And here you can hear the Imam reciting from the Quran and leading the prayers.
Razia then spoke to individuals at the mosque to find out what Ramadan means to them.
My name is Ruqayya Ansari, and the month of Ramadan means to me a time to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strive to be a better Muslim, to make up for the shortcomings that maybe I've had in my worship for the rest of the year. It's also an opportunity for me to think about other Muslims and the ni'mah, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me that maybe He hasn't given to other Muslims, as a way of appreciating these things, because a lot of times we lose sight of all of the things that Allah has given us. In Ramadan, it's a time to reflect on these things. I think that Ramadan is a very special month because it has a way of bringing Muslims together. A lot of times throughout the year, we're very busy with our lives and our families. In Ramadan, we have the opportunity to come together, and you really get a sense of the nation of Islam all together as Muslims, where you don't really find that in other months. But in Ramadan, the Muslims are very close. We break fast together. We pray together. So it has an opportunity to give some life or some spirit of Islam back to the religion.
Ramadan is a month of the year where Muslims fast, and most people know that it's fasting, but it's also additional things like abstaining from bad habits that you usually do, trying to do things that you think will please God that you don't usually do, one of which is acts of charity. And we have a group called Muslim Helping Hands. We meet every once in a while, and we do a variety of community activities, like we go visit nursing homes, things like that. And tonight, we are going to stay here at the mosque. We're going to spend the night, we're going to pray, we're going to read from the Quran, our holy book, and then we're going to go out and eat breakfast so we're ready to fast the next day together. It's actually not as hard as some people might imagine. I think it helps as a reminder that what really keeps you going isn't food, isn't like material things. As long as you keep remembering God, that it's faith that keeps you going.
And it really pays off when you come at the end of the day to the masjid and you eat with all your friends and you pray with everybody. It's a really good experience. Ramadan is really exciting, especially at the end of the month when we celebrate Eid, and it's really worthwhile. It's not hard. Well, it's hard, but it really pays off. It's rewarding.
Fasting in the month of Ramadan is ordained by Allah. And the reason why I fast is it makes me a better Muslim. It makes me appreciate other people who don't have food. You know, for us it's just from sun, from dawn to sunset. But some people, that is how they live every day, because they don't even have the money. So it gives me empathy for people. It teaches me endurance, the ability to do away from doing things. So I feel that this is a special month for Muslims all over the world, not only me. You know, if you have a bad habit like smoking, you can quit and stuff like that. So that's why I like it. It makes me very close to God, because Allah has promised us that in this month, all shaitan are locked down. So it's easy for you to wake up in the middle of the night to pray, and it gives you a way of life you can do on a day-to-day activity.
To understand about poor people more, hungry people more, and also discipline about people, you know, we discipline ourselves, people discipline, and come eat together. That's so important.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to fast just like he had asked the previous generations to fast. The idea of fasting is to feel what what people who do not have anything to eat feel like. And one can feel what they are going through when you are fasting. So this is one of the main reason why we fast. And then you can feel, and your heart opens up for them to feed the poor. And this should continue. The spirit of giving and feeding the poor should continue for the whole year, not just for Ramadan.
My name is Meher Yunus, and I'm asked to speak about the sacred month of Ramadan. For me, month of Ramadan is a very important month. It comes once in a year, and in which I feel to improve, I try to improve myself. The things, if it is very important that we fast according to the religion I follow, but it has many phases to it. The most important for me is improving myself, the things that I'm not supposed to do, the things that I don't offend other people, make them happy, do small chores so that people feel happy about them. The other thing is that by not eating and drinking, I learn how the people in other parts of the world feel when you are hungry and thirsty. And if somebody comes to my door and asks me that, tell me that they are hungry, then I know how they are feeling. And it makes me aware of that hunger and thirst. The other thing is improving my life, not to tell lies, not to hurt feelings, try to pray more, respect other people's feelings, give them their bubble space, be polite and kind to other people, be nice to the kids, being caring about this whole world and the world we live in and the people we interact, the people we live with, kindness. That I have noticed a lot of people in this country when I came were very kind, caring, and that is one of the most important part of Islam. Even a small smile can give you a lot of points in the, or barakah we call it, and this is very important to us, because once this life is over, we are going to meet our Creator, and we will be answerable for all those things.
Adhan after sunset is a call to prayer. In Ramadan, it is also the call to break the fast. The breaking of the fast is followed by evening prayer. And after prayer, we eat dinner. Different families take turns to prepare food for the community. On Thursday evening, I went to Nargis' house. There are a few families who meet once a week at, they take turns meeting at different places. And last Thursday was Nargis's turn. So by the time I got there, they were in deep discussion about the ahadith. Ahadith are the sayings of the Prophet and examples set by the Prophet. And when I got in, Umar was talking about cleanliness.
Three ways to do that. One is salah, the second is zakah. Giving back constantly to remember that, so you don't hoard wealth, but rather to give it back. And the third one is what we're doing, which is fasting. Which is sort of, we're talking about the Ramadan dip earlier. That refers to maybe attendance, but I've actually seen that as you get used to it, maybe after the 10 to 15 day mark, by this point, it's almost, you're used to it now, sort of. Like, it's just kind of, now this is becoming your second nature. And then the 4 or 5 days after Eid, it's hard. Like, you'll forget to eat lunch. So we're getting to that phase, sort of, where this is becoming sort of the norm. Your body's adjusted to it by now, etc. So that's part of keeping your soul pure and clean. Because not just the food, but it's like we're making conscious effort to not do things that otherwise, we would slip normally. So, in a nutshell, that is it. The one hadith that I really liked was, beware of the three acts that cause others to curse you: relieving yourself in a watering place, on footpaths, or shady places. So, just as an FYI.
And after we broke the fast, I spoke with him.
The reason what I keep in mind when I fast is to observe solidarity with those who do not have the options that I do. I know that at the end of the day, I can eat a nice meal and be in the comfort of my home with my family. And I know there are those in the world who don't have that option. Who for them, their fast is indefinite. They don't know when they will break their fast. Their fast is not by choice, but by reality. And so the most that I can do is to at least keep them in mind and make prayer for them, and at least observe solidarity with them the best that I can. This is one way to do that.
I met Bilal at Bradley University. He was a student. Now he's trying to be imam in training, and he also led the prayer at Nargis's house. And I asked him what Ramadan means to him, and this is what he said.
Why do you fast? Fast is a command from God. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commands from the God is given. And its commands is actually prescribed to other religions as well. Judaism, Christianity before. And then it's also prescribed to us as well. So you just find the tradition of all the prophets: Abraham, Moses, Isa, and then Muhammad, peace be upon him. all of them actually, you know, fasted commands of God. So we also found the commands of God. So, and then this will bring us closer to God. Actually, fasting is a lesson to learn that there are many people out there or different countries and different overseas who are, they don't have a choice to fast. So they just fast because they don't have food to eat. But for us over here, we have a choice to fast. So this teach a lesson to thanking God what He's given to you, and at the same time give charity, and then to help the others who doesn't have a choice to fast. So we help them at the same time, and we make ourselves in the same level that those guys are, so we could learn a lesson and make ourselves conscious of the God. This is the month that I personally look forward for every year, and then this month, like, I'm really excited, I'm really happy, and then I am moody with my friends, moody with my brothers, moody with my family. This is one of them, one of my best months that I ever had. I'll be honest to you, as me born here and raised here, America, and then having a long days of fasting, 16 hours of fasting, it's fabulous. It just keeps it clean scientifically, and then at the same time it makes ourselves better. So there's no such thing as dislike on, like, for fasting.
Is it hard?
Is it hard? In the beginning, it gets a little tough because you're not used to fast every day, especially 16 hours a day. So in the beginning, it's tough. When you get used to it, get better.
Later in the evening, I got into a bit of discussion with one of the guests. I wanted to know what he thought about ijtihad in today's world. Ijtihad is an Arabic word which could be used in the sense of rigorous dialogue and probing discussions in Islam with reference to the Holy Quran to come to a decision about certain issues of the day. I wanted to know if Islam is, you know, if we could use common sense to come up with the decisions about our lives instead of just following set of rules which do not take into account the changing world.
If you look at the lives of the Muslims, it all falls into the realm of common sense. And this is because our Creator gave us this faith and this religion to follow. And it falls in life with what we would do. Even as we're born, it's common sense. It's our natural inclination that we worship something. And we worship our Creator. So the whole religion is based on common sense and our natural inclination. But when we go to interpret things that maybe are more complex, we should consult with others, similar as we consult with others when it comes to mathematics or science or other subjects. We don't just read a book and think that we can comprehend and understand it. We do read it, we study it, we learn it, and we ask questions. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to digest that knowledge and implement it in our lives.
At the end of this month, we celebrate what we call Eid. Eid is celebrated. We go on the day of the Eid in the morning, usually to the river Plux or some other place which can hold a lot of people, and we pray. And the Eid prayer is usually after the sunrise, compared with the before, during the Ramadan, the prayer is held, or we pray before the sunrise, and we finish eating also before the sunrise. But on the Eid day, we pray after the sunrise, and then there's a short celebration. People bring food, and then the following weekend, we have Eid dinner, where we invite friends and family, and this big celebration. The children have their rides, and, you know, it's a big celebration. And then the life goes back to pre-Ramadan days, and we start indulging again. صوم وصلاة وزكاة حج والشهادتين شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله إقامة الصلاة إيتاء الزكاة
وصوم رمضان وحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله لا أعبد في الكون إلا الله ورسولي للبشر هدى بني الإسلام على خمسة أركان.
You're listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's progressive radio station and one and only Pacifica affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. With August ending and September just around the corner, Labor Day is coming up soon and Peoria will be celebrating with a collection of union members and labor organizations that will march through the city, showing probably one of the biggest turnouts of organized labor in central Illinois. So I decided to sit down with a few labor leaders in the Peoria area this past week who are organizing this year's parade. I spoke with Mike Everett, business manager of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and the president of the Labor Council of West Central Illinois, to find out more about the Labor Day Parade.
What is it that you do for the community here in Peoria?
Well, labor always likes to prove that they're a good neighbor, and we sponsor blood drives throughout the year that are hosted either here at the Labor Temple or at the various local unions. United Auto Workers are always doing blood drives, the postal workers, the steam fitters, we kind of move it around, boilermakers, everybody hosts a blood drive, so we think that that's an important piece. And we've also been active in the Rebuilding Together program in the Peoria area since 1994, where we choose 10 or 12, 15, 18 sometimes houses, existing housing stock to repair for elderly and low-income folks.
So the Labor Day Parade, are you involved with that at all, with choosing the Grand Marshal?
Yeah, there's a committee, and I got to say that I'm not really on that committee, but there's a committee made up of labor that works very hard for many, many, many weeks, actually months ahead of the parade, lining up all the people who are going to participate, all the entries. There's lots of vehicles, lots of marching groups, marching bands, and they do sit down and take nominations and accept the Grand Marshal nomination, which this year I'm very proud. It happens to be my father, Marvin Everett, who's a United Auto Worker, retired from Caterpillar, and he was selected as the Grand Marshal this year.
I met with Todd Holsinger, who is part of the committee that has been organizing the Labor Day Parade. He's also Assistant Business Manager of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I asked him about the Labor Parade and Marvin Everett.
It actually started back in the early 90s as Christmas in April. And, you know, he's been heavily involved in other things as well, community events, which are required of our parade marshal. I know Marv personally. He's a very good gentleman and always done things for the community. Again, like I said, we're going to have all the unions staged up there, and that staging area is up there by St. Mary's Cathedral. We go from there. It's a good event. We hope to get a lot of the community out to support us.
And Rebuilding Together, what is that?
Well, it's a charity that a lot of businesses in the community are involved in, and it deals with going into homes and in the community of elderly people that are can't fix their homes up, can't afford to fix their homes up. We go in and painting. Sometimes we put new roofs on or install new insulated windows and things. Do a little electrical work if need be, or furnace, air conditioning type thing if we need to do something there. But it's a good thing, you know. And that's something that labor's been supporting for a lot of years.
Do you feel that the labor community, the unions, and the Peoria are taken fairly seriously and respected among the citizens and the politicians?
I think there are many citizens that respect what we do, and I think there are some of the politicians that do. I do feel there are politicians that just terribly ignore us. They don't see that we do anything in the community. They feel like The only thing the agents for the unions are after is to take money out of their pocket. You know, we're not necessarily after taking money out of a business owner's pocket. We're after having decent paying middle class jobs for our members and decent working conditions. You know, labor is not about just take. We give back to the community, but we can't give back if our members are making nothing but minimum wage, you know, or slightly above it. Those members then can't afford to go out and enjoy a night out at the movies or go out to dinner and spend the money. If they're making a good middle class wage, they reinvest the wages they make in the community as well. So, I mean, there are those that don't respect us, yes. But there are many that do. And
I think the ones that do, they're going to be in the parade at all?
There'll be some of them, you know. There'll be some of, you know, we leave the parade open to all the unions that want to get in. We do allow politicians in the parade, both labor-friendly and non-labor-friendly, you know, in allowing the politicians in the parade, they're all allowed, okay? We don't discriminate against one politician over another.
Hannah Offit spoke to C.J. Higgins, who is with the Labor Council of West Central Illinois and United Way. She talked about how she and the unions have been involved with the parade and the Peoria community.
How are you involved?
Well, I actually sit on the committee for the Labor Day parade, and, you know, we get everything planned out, you know, from the actual parade itself to the party on the riverfront that starts immediately following the parade.
How are the unions involved with the community?
Well, I would say most generally, labor unions are terrific volunteers in our community. They don't go out and do the volunteer work that they do and do it because they belong to a labor union, but they just are people that, you know, drive the church bus, that go out and they, you know, volunteer to coach their kids' softball teams. They're pretty active in their communities. They're blood donors. They're just, you know, they volunteer at agencies. They just do it because it's a natural thing that they do just as citizens of the communities in which they live.
What is important about Labor Day?
Labor Day is really to celebrate people being able to go and go to their workplace and be reminded that labor unions brought you the weekend. You know, they fought for you, you know, to have a 40-hour work week and to be able to, you know, be off and to be safe on your, you know, in your job, in your workplace. You know, like I said, you know, remind people that we're out there in force and we're still fighting for, you know, wages and benefits and we'll always be there, you know. I mean, that's pretty much why we like to do that. Plus that, we like to get together and, you know, you'd be surprised at how many people, you know, see each other on a job, you know, maybe 5 years ago, and now they see you down there on that. It's good to see you, you know. I mean, people, you know, especially in the building trades, you know, they're in and out of different jobs all the time, and so they may not see each other once a job's ended. So we have a good time, you know, just getting together with the camaraderie of people who think like we do, you know, that we believe in the labor movement.
I asked Mike what union members and unions will be involved with during the Labor Day parade, and why Labor Day and the parade itself is a very important day, that its meaning gets watered down in the nation and in the Peoria area.
Labor Day parade is going to be the probably it's the largest coming together of labor from all different walks of life. I mean, you have teachers there, United Auto Workers, carpenters, electricians, iron workers, AFSCME, SEIU service employees. This event is the biggest collection of all the different union members and different labor organizations in Central Illinois. So we really look forward to it. Hope we get some good weather. It's not only they're not only proud to carry their banners and flags down Main Street, but they really enjoy each other's company down on the riverfront. You know, we have live music and food and refreshments, and hopefully it won't be real hot. We'll get a nice day. But this is the biggest coming together of organized labor in Central Illinois, and we need more of that. A lot of these people that from this area thought so much about some of the things going on in Wisconsin that we took several buses to Wisconsin up there in the snow and marched around that capital and through that capital up there when they were having all their public employees attacked and workers' rights, collective bargaining rights stripped away. So you've got some real, some real solidarity. And I know for a fact that a lot of these folks also went over to Indianapolis and demonstrated over there. We're taken aback. We've had a few demonstrations in this area, too, in support of those folks. We're really taken aback at how the public employees and people who have built up a nice living wage and some good benefits over the years, now they're the reasons for our financial problems. It's absurd. But I'm really looking forward to Labor Day. I'm looking forward to getting all those people together. It's one of the few times where we get a chance to look and see that we are together. We are a powerful force.
How did the Labor Day Parade kind of start about? Do you know the history of Labor Day Parade?
Well, a little bit. It was originally the first actual Labor Days were around the Haymarket martyrs that were killed in Chicago when a bomb was thrown, and then there was several arrested, and I think a few of them were hung. The May Day, most of the world recognizes May 1st or May Day as the International Labor Day, and it was changed politically in the United States, I think, to kind of get it off of that so everybody wouldn't remember a bunch of anarchists. But the history is it was a day for labor, a day to celebrate labor and the merits and the dignity of hard work, and to bring workers together. In a celebration, and around here in Peoria, they used to have Labor Day parades on a regular basis until really the Second World War. And after the Second World War, it interrupted the Labor Day parades, and it was many, many years before people got together and decided that we need to get these things going again. The parade in Galesburg, for example, is the oldest continuous running Labor Day parade in the United States, and they're celebrating their 120th year. And I wish Peoria could say the same thing, but it was interrupted, and some of the people actually in this building here got together and decided, we need to get the Labor Day parade going on a regular basis in Peoria again. So the history of it is, I can't tell you dates and names very well, but the history of it is it was the Workers' Day, and it was a day to celebrate labor, the dignity of labor, and the pride that people take in their craft, or whatever they do, and it's a day to remind, I think, everybody that it is labor that is the heartbeat of this country and the future of this country.
The parade this year will be on September 5th and starts around 12:30 p.m. CityLink will be shuttling people up to the staging area between Green Street and Spalding on Madison. And the parade usually ends around 3:15 p.m. at the riverfront. So go down and show your support for your local unions and labor workers that keep the city moving.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for today's show. I'd like to thank Joel Madigan, who actually helped out edit the show that you listened to today in his studio, Lisa Falzone. Big thanks to him for that. I'd also like to thank Rizia Ahmed and Hannah Offit for their reporting. The music that was also featured on today's show was from local bands in the Peoria area called Men of Fortune and The Dirty Gentlemen. So if you want to hear more local progressive exposés, just please tune in every Tuesday at 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 90.7 FM WAZU here at the Solidarity Journal. Or you can download our shows at radioforall.net. Or you can join us on Facebook. So thanks for listening to Solidarity Journal, and until next time, keep up the resistance.